It has been nearly a year since the federal government froze the assets of the country's three largest Islamic charities in an attempt to choke off funding to terrorists. One of them, Global Relief Foundation, continues to mount an energetic defense. The charity's defenders claim the government, under the state of emergency, has unconstitutionally shut it down, using secret evidence. Yet investigators inside and outside the government are convinced Global Relief is corrupt and provides a good example of violence done under cover of humanitarian assistance. NPR's John Burnett reports.
In many American mosques, there's a bulletin board near the entrance, and on it are displayed brochures, usually picturing sad or wounded children and distraught mothers, along with a smiling doctor and a truck unloading relief supplies. Global Relief Foundation, based in the Chicago suburb of Bridgeview, was one of the most successful charities. It raised about $5 million a year in the last 2 years with appeals like this one.
Where there is the cry of despair and the need for a helping hand, Global Relief is ready to answer the call. Global Relief is one of the world's leading Islamic humanitarian agencies, providing comfort and hope to fellow Muslim brothers and sisters in distress throughout the world.
Global Relief says it supports refugee camps, orphanages, clinics, and schools in places like Afghanistan, Iraq, Ethiopia, Chechnya, Kashmir, Bosnia, and Kosovo. But according to the federal government, the heartfelt appeal was a front to divert money to al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups. On December 14th of last year, the U.S. Treasury Department froze $1 million in Global Relief's assets and followed up later by designating it a terrorist entity. Jimmy Gurulay is the Treasury Department's Undersecretary for Enforcement.
If this money was going to Chechnya and we had reason to believe that it was going to support a hospital or a school, or to address other poverty concerns, it would not be blocked. The fact is, however, that it's not going for those purposes exclusively. Instead, it's going also to support terrorist activity and the killing of innocent lives.
On this point, the public must simply trust the government because the evidence against Global Relief remains secret. Under the USA Patriot Act, the courts may consider classified information against individuals or organizations suspected of links to terrorists. The government maintains that disclosing intelligence will tip off the terrorists about how it was acquired. With national security in mind, earlier this year, a U.S. immigration court held closed hearings on the fate of Global Relief's president. A lawsuit by news organizations and the ACLU forced the judge to open his doors. Yet, while the hearings are now public, Global Relief's Maryland-based attorney, Roger Simmons, says the facts of the government's case remain in the dark.
They won't let us see the evidence. They won't let us even see the allegations, John. It is an Orwellian situation.
The Treasury Department has, however, revealed several provocative facts about the 10-year-old foundation. Among them, a Global Relief official in Belgium had multiple contacts with Wadi al-Hajj, formerly Osama bin Laden's personal secretary. Global Relief's European affiliate received more than $200,000 from a suspected al-Qaeda financier who was arrested last spring by Spanish authorities. In 1997, FBI agents searched a trash dumpster behind Global Relief's Illinois headquarters and found photographs of armed combatants and corpses in Kashmir. Again, Jimmy Gurulay of the U.S. Treasury Department.
The United States government is not going to permit a charity, any NGO or any business to be used for a corrupt purpose of supporting terrorist activity, even if that organization is engaged in some legitimate activity. We're not going to parse it out. That organization is going to be shut down.
When the Treasury Department shut down the other two big U.S. Islamic charities, Holy Land Foundation and Benevolence International Foundation, details of their alleged ties to Arab terrorists were plentiful. Both foundations deny the allegations. While the accusations against Global Relief are troubling, attorney Roger Simmons says they do not prove the core of the government's case.
I have repeatedly raised that over the last almost 11 and a half months now with the government, challenging them to show me where any money went to a militant group, a rebel group, an al-Qaeda group. And they've never shown me one nickel that went astray.
Simmons claims the evidence is circumstantial, guilt by association, that the donation from the al-Qaeda financier was innocent, and that pictures in the trash were just that, garbage. Noel Sala, the lawyer for Global Relief President Rabih Haddad, says the foundation's accusers don't understand the nature of the violent places where the charity is most needed.
When you're providing charitable relief in areas that are, quote, hotspots in the world, then it's very often the case that the only persons that are going to be able to allow you entree to give that relief are perhaps some not very nice people. But you work on the ground to provide your charitable relief.
The government's most serious accusation is that the director of Global Relief's affiliate in Brussels, Nabil Sayadi, exchanged phone calls with Wadi al-Haj, the bin Laden associate who's currently serving a life sentence for his role in the bombings of U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. The government claims Sayadi was in contact with al-Haj during the same time al-Haj was active in an al-Qaeda terrorist cell in Kenya. Reached at his home in Brussels, Sayadi confirms that he and al-Haj exchanged phone calls during that period of 1997 and 98, but he claims it had nothing to do with terrorism. He says al-Haj was pestering him to donate some money for a mosquito eradication project in Kenya.
Maybe this man called during these years 1,000 persons. Why they don't put all these persons on terrorist list? Why they put me? But I never gave money to someone, and I said to him, go and buy a weapon to kill another person. No, we are a humanitarian organization.
Could the communications have been innocent? Matthew Levitt, a former FBI counterterrorist analyst, now with the Washington Institute on Near East Policy, has learned to be suspicious of everything involving Wadi al-Haj.
There aren't a whole lot of casual contacts that just happen to happen between this individual and a very, very long and dirty laundry list of terrorist operatives. If that was the only piece of information you had, then you might have to say, gosh, that could be a strange coincidence. What the government is saying is that it's not the only piece of information.
But Global Relief's lawyers point out that a year later, with computer hard drives and 450,000 pages of evidence in its possession, the federal government has not filed criminal charges against either the charity or its president, Rabih Haddad. Instead, Haddad has been in jail for a year for overstaying a tourist visa. His wife, Salma Al-Rusheid.
We have done everything in our power to try to get to the bottom of this. We've been begging, I have been begging, please, as a wife, let me know what you have against my husband. If anybody should know, it's me. Whatever happened to innocent proven until proven guilty, whatever happened to fairness?
Here in the mosque in his adopted hometown in Ann Arbor, Michigan, Rabih Haddad was a popular teacher and assistant imam. He was also well-known at other mosques around the country as a prolific fundraiser for Global Relief. The 42-year-old Lebanese man has lived in the United States off and on for almost two decades. He's requested asylum for himself, his wife, and their children, claiming that the cloud of aiding terrorists that is now over him will endanger his life if he's sent back to Beirut. But it's the U.S. government that considers Rabih Haddad a threat. Earlier this year, an immigration judge denied him bond and kept him in jail, considering him a flight risk or a danger to the community. That's a notion his close friend, Omam al-Baroudi, considers ludicrous.
I used to go with him, drink coffee at Starbucks maybe twice or three times a week. Every week we go chat. This is very ridiculous to say, like, he's like flight risk or dangerous to the community. Thank to the government that they saved us from him. I mean, this is ridiculous.
The fallout of Global Relief's troubles reaches far beyond the Ann Arbor Mosque. The closing of the three largest Islamic charities in the country has had a chilling effect in the Muslim American community. Donations plummeted during the just-ended month of Ramadan, normally the biggest season for charities. Donors are nervous their names could turn up in an FBI file, says Syed Mayer Esfar, a Pakistani lawyer who attends a Houston mosque.
I wish the federal government would clear out these cases real fast. We have no intention of supporting terrorism. We don't want to do that. We want our charities to go to help the poor and the needy. We have mainly now limited our charities giving to organizations that we know, mainly locally.
But blame should not fall on the donors, the great majority of whom had pure motives, says Jonathan Weiner, a former State Department official who studies terrorist financing. The problem, he says, is sloppy oversight. When humanitarian aid gets into the hands of zealous, politically committed individuals on the ground,
should we be surprised that some of that money got diverted into terrorism that came back to bite us? We should not. These people have a responsibility to stop it, to prevent it, to shut it down, to cleanse themselves of it. They didn't meet that responsibility, and that's why they're in trouble.
Mindful of the dangerous potential of overseas fundraising, mosques that previously opened their doors to anyone are being more cautious, says Salam Al-Mariati. He's executive director of the Muslim Public Affairs Council in Los Angeles.
The mosques themselves are beginning to control the podiums more so that not anyone can come in and say, here, I'm helping the children of Somalia, give me money, and then people just empty their pockets and give that person money. There needed to be some more accountability.
In the soul-searching that has gone on since September 11, some Muslims in America are questioning the militant politics that have taken hold in some charities and mosques. Asma Hassan, a 28-year-old Pakistani-American, is author of the book American Muslims, The New Generation. She says she believes U.S. officials when they accuse the top three Islamic charities of helping terrorists, and she wishes American Muslims would take back their mosques and charities.
Certainly there are political problems that Muslims face, and it's important that Muslims contribute to causes to help our fellow Muslims in the world, because if we don't, who will? Yet many of these charities want to take that language, that sentiment, and politicize it and make it that it's something that is part of our, you know, militant jihad-like duty. And as far as I'm concerned, that's a manipulation of the religion.
The government's deportation order against Rabih Haddad, as well as the blocking of Global Relief's bank accounts, are on appeal. But the organization is defunct, its Chicago headquarters empty, its office equipment given away, and its 15-person staff scattered. Donations destined for humanitarian relief are now being used to pay lawyers. John Burnett, NPR News.